Amen. Well, we have a great guest here, and you're going to have a few more guests over the next few weeks. Nelson, and I want to, Montero, yes, not Mandela.
Yes.
Oh, my head was always going, not Mandela, Jim, not Mandela. Montero is here, and he's been a part of our church missions for years and years. How many years altogether?
14.
14 years. And so I first met Nelson when I was pastoring in Parksville, and we became friends then, and we supported his ministry there. And then he was, when we came here, we noticed that he was part of this church as well. But he'll share with you that this church was actually instrumental in the work that started in Brazil. This church here, Richmond Pentecostal Church. So it was before Nelson's time there. But would you come up, Nelson?
Yes.
And his son Danny is here, and I think he's up in the sound booth. Are you, Danny, up there? Yeah, okay, I can see that little hand there. And Danny's 12, and he's keeping his dad in line when you're traveling.
Yes.
It's good to have you here, man. Would you just come and share your heart?
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Jim.
Bless
I appreciate
you,
it. Thank you. I want to greet you this morning in the name of Jesus, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, as we just sang. He is advancing his kingdom. So many times we're caught up by the media and by the news that you hear, and we think that evil is advancing sometimes, right? We are caught up in that. I like what my professor, Eugene Peterson, used to say to us, said, be careful how you hear the news, because the news is just a footnote to the Bible. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords is on the move. I'm come to tell you this morning that the kingdom of God is advancing, that the King of Kings is advancing his kingdom. And it's such a privilege to be involved in this work that he's doing around the world. As we go to churches and meet pastors and leaders and Christians and see that the kingdom of God is advancing, and we have the privilege of being a small part of that. So I bring you greetings from Brazil, actually, today. I just came back on Wednesday from Brazil. And as Pastor Jim was just saying, thank you, Pastor Jim and Elaine, for having us here. It's a privilege to be in this church and to meet you again. We haven't seen you for a while. Actually, it was 4 years ago that we were here. It's every 4 years that we come to Canada. It's going to become more often now, more frequent. But I bring greetings from Brazil. There are many special reasons for being here this morning. One of them is that we, as a fellowship, the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, we are celebrating 110 years of missions, actually. Even before this fellowship was formed. Yes, I think we should do that. Yeah. Even before this fellowship was officially put together, 8 years before, or 11 years before, actually, 1908, missionaries were already leaving to South Africa to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And so I feel privileged this morning. I am a fruit of missions. Canadian missions, American missions, missionaries who went to Brazil 100 years ago, 150 years ago, who left their families and their friends and what was well known to them in their country and went to a place that they didn't know about. I'm a fruit of two Swedish missionaries who went to Brazil in 1910, and they come from the Azusa Street movement here in the U.S., And God was moving, the Holy Spirit was moving, right? That this whole Pentecostal movement that we are a part of and it keeps moving. And they were in this prayer meeting and they heard this word. God gave this word, para, to them. And they had never heard this word before. So they thought it was a place, that this must be a place in the world. They went to the map and they found that Para was a state in northern Brazil, in the Amazon, actually. And they heard that call, and they went. They obeyed and left. And that's the beginnings of the Assemblies of God in Brazil, actually, which is the largest denomination in Brazil. And my grandpa came to the Lord through these first missionaries, became a Christian, and I'm a third-generation Pentecostal in Brazil. So I'm a fruit of missions. I'm a fruit of American missions and Canadian missions. So here I am, and then this church, like Pastor Jim said, this church, I don't know, I would like to know more about the history, because that comes way before me, but the Madsons went to Brazil, And this church was instrumental, and this church was, as I understand, the base for them to be able to go and do what they did in Brazil. And the school that we first got involved with and worked with in 14 years ago in Brazil, in Recife, was started by the Madsons. And I can tell you that many students have come out of that school. Many churches have been planted out of that effort of the Madsons. And so you have no idea, as a church, Richmond Pentecostal Church, you have no idea about how much your influence has generated many souls and people saved to the Lord because of the faithfulness and the obedience of this congregation. So as a Brazilian, I want to salute you today and say thank you. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for your part in missions. Thank you that that's not only in your past. Thank you that's in your... And I feel privileged, really, to be part of this because I'm supported by this church now in prayer and finances. I'm supported by the church, and it's so much more important than just the prayers and the finance that come to us. It's being part of this history of what God is doing globally and what he's doing in Brazil and what he did through the Madsons and what he continues to do as we obey and go and make ourselves available and as churches like you come alongside and support us. So thank you. I want to honor you this morning. That's one of the things I want to do too, is to honor you this morning and say thank you. And thank and this great movement of God, and so many people have talked about missions, the church and missions, as the greatest force for transformation in the nation and in history. And I really believe that. And it's so great to have the privilege of being part of that. So thank you, and our part in the missions these days, and I want to show a slide of our family and just spend a little bit of time telling you what we're doing before you get to the message. But if we have the slides ready, I can show a picture of our family. And just a lot of you ask us when we come, and we have been coming every 4 years, how our family is doing. And so there is our family right there. Lisa is right there. The most beautiful part of this partnership right there. And Lisa couldn't come this morning, and she profusely apologized because her mom is turning 80 today, and she's part of preparing the celebration tonight. I'm going to be catching the 3 o'clock ferry to join them there in Victoria. So there is Lisa, there is Gabriela, and Gabriela is 21 now. She's in Hungary doing her third year of architecture. She did 2 years in Brazil, is doing the third year there and enjoying Europe and her studies. And she wants to be, she's one of these new, I love the generation of the millennials, the next generation. And that's actually the generation that God has been bringing to us to minister these last few years, because they are strong Christians. And they understand that their faith is not only works in the church, not only works in the church on Sunday, but they are called by God to influence society in the world. So she wants to do urban planning. She wants to bring order and beauty and justice to city context. She wants to bring more of God's kingdom. Those are the pillars of the kingdom. So Gabi is studying architecture. Luke is doing civil engineering at UVic right now, finishing his second year. And Danny is right here with us. We are homeschooling him, and very thankful for the opportunity that God has given to us to be intentionally engaged in the education of our son as we look to the whole system and the whole agenda of education these days. It's a privilege to be part of his education in that way. So that's our family. And the next slide, we started in Recife with the Bible school there during missionary training for 7 years when we entered 2004. And this church has been with us, journeying with us since 2004 when we left. We spent 7 years in Recife with the Folders. Tom and Laura Folder are still there. And that's the school where Pastor Madsen, the Madsons started there. And then we moved to João Pessoa, which is a 2-hour drive north of where Recife is. And the last 7 years, we have been, God called us to develop what we call Institute 127. And this is next slide will show that. It's under a local church. We partnered with that church, and they invite us to come and help them. And our mission, this slide that just came out, says it's to equip the Brazilian church to be an effective agent of transformation in the lives of individuals, in their communities, and in society, because we believe that what happened on the cross more than 2,000 years ago, the power that comes from the cross. It's such a great power that it actually transforms individuals, but it goes beyond that and not only reduced to that, it starts to transform their communities and their society. And the blessing of Abraham, to the promise to Abraham of blessing nations, we believe that God didn't stop and didn't give up on that, and God is still blessing nations and, of course, starts with individuals. So that's Institute 127 is our local work, and it's also, it comes from the passage in James 1:27 that talks about religion being also about taking care of the orphans and the widows. So, but it's also a code, 127. One, we talk about one truth that generates transformation. So we believe that God's word is still powerful, and that what God gave us here, the principles that God gave us here that come from God himself, they are powerful to transform the lives of individuals. They are powerful to transform a society also. In Brazil, we talk about Brazil now, 25% of the population call themselves evangelicals. At the same time, there is a lot of violence and corruption and crime and all the signs of the fall that we see in Brazilian society. So we believe that as we move and equip the church to bring God's truth to the roots of society, we believe that that picture can be changed and God's word is powerful to transform that. So we look to scriptures and we equip the church in a biblical worldview to transform their own society. The two attributes of God in action among many, his justice and his mercy. So we asked ourselves, where in Brazil transformation is most visibly needed? And we decided that the poor communities, the favelas, would be where we'd start. So we start work in a poor community of Vila Feliz. I'm going to show you a little video of that soon. And the seven spheres of influence in society, that's a representative number seven. We believe that Christians are called also not only to be good Christians on Sunday in the church, they are good called to be an influence in society. They're called to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to their workplace from Monday to Friday. They're called to remove the lies that the enemy has planted in the different spheres, in the sphere of the government and law and arts and media. And there's so many agendas that the enemy has been using and planted in these spheres. And we believe that if we are able to remove the lies, and if you can use your vocation to bring God's truth to the roots of the law and government, we believe that that truth is powerful to generate different fruits. So that's what we did with Institute 127. We did that for 6 years. In 2016, that became a church in the community. And Pastor Roberto is going to talk there. He used to be our jiu-jitsu leader in that poor community of Vila Feliz, and that became a church. So I'm going to ask us to hear the video. Danny actually helped prepare that video for us, and it comes from Brazil, and it's a thank you for you as a congregation. So I wonder, there's an audio in that video, by the way. So I wonder if we can look at the video right now. Is that going to be okay? Okay.
Chamava para ir para um acampamento da base, da igreja minha. Aí lá eu conheci Jesus e aceitei. Aí agora a minha vida está completamente diferente através desse projeto aqui.
amarem. Nós estamos aqui graças a vocês que plantaram essa semente aqui com tanto amor durante tantos anos, abençoando essa comunidade tão carente, que precisa de pessoas que depositem não só o tempo, como nós estamos aqui dando o nosso tempo, mas como pessoas como vocês, que estão depositando sementes financeiras para que esse povo seja abençoado. Então, de todo o meu coração, eu quero agradecer esse carinho e quero mandar mais notícias de tudo que vocês plantaram aqui, que está dando frutos e frutos lindos para a glória do Senhor.
Thank you for from the kids and the families in Vila Feliz. It's a community of 4,000 people. And I was just thinking actually about Bruno. You saw Bruno speaking there. Bruno came to us when he was about 12 years old. And he came in his, like most of the kids in that community, in his in ragged clothes, and they don't have much. They're poor kids. We give them uniforms. They wear them proudly. Part of the reason is that they don't have much wear, so they walk around the community with those uniforms. So that's how Bruno came. And he came, and when we first started working in that community, the locals would say to us that the average age for a boy to die, if he stayed in that community, was 17 years old. Some of you probably heard me tell that story last time I was here. So now you look at Bruno, and in 2014, he commits his life to Christ because of our projects and the church, and he commits his life to Christ. 2 years later, we are having a baptism, because even before the church opened, there was church already there, right? So if you can understand that, the church was there already. Jesus was doing his work already. So you're having this baptism. And Ben, the coordinator for our projects in that community, was baptizing these 9 teenagers and young people. And when there were 3 left to baptize, he called Bruno to the pool and Samuel. And those are 2 kids from the community who had grown up with our projects and had committed their lives to Christ a couple years before. So they come to the little pool that's in Ben's house that we're doing this. And then he invited them to help him baptize the last 3 teenagers and young people. And at that day, Ben was doing all the work. I was taking pictures and collecting some images. And when I saw that picture, God really spoke to me. And he said, and something in me just thought about looking at Bruno. He now is 18. He should be dead, according to the statistics. And he's not dead. Not only he's not dead, he's alive in Christ. He's fully alive, right? And not only he's fully alive in Christ, he's bringing others to faith in Christ. He's being an influence in his own community and bringing his community to Christ. And that image of him baptizing another teenager from the community. So if it was only for Bruno, all these 14 years would have been worth it. But I can tell you that God is doing way more than that. There are many Brunos in Brazil being changed because of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ and because of churches like you who understand that sending missionaries and supporting missionaries is important. So thank you from the kids. Thank you from the community of Vila Feliz. And to close today, and I want to share the message with you in the next 20 minutes. Thank you, worship team. It's what a great place to be this morning. The presence and the worship and the adoration and lifting up Jesus Christ as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the King, and His kingdom is advancing. His kingdom is forever, as we just sang the last song. And that theme has become one of my favorite themes, that God is advancing His kingdom. That actually we know the end already, the end of history, we know. Paul says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord for the glory of God the Father. That's the end of history. That the kingdom of God, the king will come. We are called to be instruments to advance His kingdom now. We understand that we'll never bring God's kingdom in its fullness. That would be liberation theology or social gospel. We don't believe. Only when the king comes back and we believe that Jesus will come back. Jesus will come. That the Bible is very clear about this teaching, that he will come back. And when the king comes back, then he will establish his kingdom in its fullness. As we are here now, we are called already to see this kingdom. By faith, we see this kingdom coming, and we are instruments to bring more of his kingdom every day. So the passage this morning comes from Isaiah 9. Verses 6 and 7. We usually use this passage during the Christmas time, right? But I want to bring this passage to you today in April that says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end." I was looking at this last verse, actually, in my Portuguese version, the Portuguese NVI, we call in Brazil, we call NIV here. And it's interesting that in the Portuguese translation, this verse uses more of the active voice. In English, we say, "Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end." There's this more passive sense to the phrase. But in Portuguese, it puts it in the more active, and it says, translated into English, it says, "He will extend his dominion, and there will be peace without end. This King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he is on the forefront of this mission, and he is extending his dominion. Since the cross, the enemy is retreating and God is advancing." He has been doing that actually from creation, even though there is Genesis 3 and the fall, but there is a whole plan in history for God to advance his kingdom. Actually, from Genesis to Revelation, that's where that theme has become one of my favorites, because you see this golden thread that seems to be all over scriptures, when God is the king and he's advancing his kingdom for the glory of his own name. I like the image of when I think about the kingdom of God, and I just came back from Brazil on Wednesday, and I left, I was there for a while, and when I left, it was cold. We have been in Victoria, based in Victoria, and traveling during this itineration time in Canada. And I left, it was cold, and I came back on Wednesday, and it was warm, and the weather was nice, and the flowers, and the colors, and it was 4 years ago since we were here for the last time during spring, and I love the image of the garden, and the flowers, and a well-tended garden, and well-cared-for garden. I'm not a gardener by nature, my wife is, but I have learned to appreciate that and be more involved. So I think about this image of this garden as I think about the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is this reality that allows life and society to flourish, to be sustainable, well-tended by God. And no wonder that he planted a garden in the beginning, because this image of the garden, a well-tended garden, and so this image of the garden comes to me when I think about the kingdom of God. It's the only true reality that is broad and comprehensive enough to account for all aspects of our existence, of our life, and it encompasses all things, and we are part of this reality that God created. Of course, when you think about our biblical worldview, there is not only creation, there is fall also. Genesis 3 is a reality, as creation is. And in creation, God establishes everything that we need, this reality and the principles for life to work for us as individuals, for life to work as a society. Actually, in creation, Genesis 1 and 2, you already find God establishing that reality so that life and society will work. But then there is Genesis 3 also, of course, there is the fall, and there is sin, and there is disobedience. And sin enters because of our human choice, our freedom, being created in God's image, among many things, and maybe one of the major things. It means that we are free, and we use that freedom, and Genesis 3 is part of that, and there is sin. And sin dehumanizes human beings. God created us to be fully humans. God gave us this privilege of working with him in extending the garden. Pretty much that was the mandate that he gave to the first couple, to extend the garden into all the earth, and now to create culture. And now with the fall, we continue to do that, but it's broken, it's corroded, it's corrupted. And we continue to do that, but now we extend this culture that brings death and enslaves. And so the fall is a reality, and it dehumanizes us. That's the nature of sin. Sin dehumanizes. That's why you call the fall, actually, because we are created to be fully humans. And we believe that we could be like God, but in fact what happened is we are less than humans. Not only you're not like God, we become less than humans. And that's what happens. It's a reduction. And we live in this reduction. Look at society around us today. And what you're going to see is a picture of reduction. Not the big reality that God created us to experience and to live. The kingdom reality that he created for us. What we live now is a reduction. Even though within this reduction, living within this reduction, people call this the full reality. People call this freedom. And they even come to us and say, you are not free because I can do whatever I want. You can't. And it's a lie of the enemy because it's really living a reduction. Sin dehumanizes. That's why we call the fall. But then we have this, and there is a whole agenda. The fall has a whole agenda as we look about at what it's doing to our society these days. Like I said before, there's death. And I come back to Canada. Actually, it's not only in Canada, it's in Brazil. And the conversations and the agendas that are around that actually bring death and not life. Agendas that enslave and not free people. And even intellectually, even though people like to think that they are progressive, even in the thinking, as you look to academia, there's a whole academic imperialism that is happening these days in our universities. There is only one way of thinking. And if you don't think that way, you are out. And the university actually is the institution, one of the pillars of the university is free thinking. It's an institution to train people to think freely. But these days there is this imperialism, this academic imperialism that happens. So all these fruits of the fall that have come to us as a consequence, and the world lives by that reality. Society lives by that reality, by that reduction, actually, today. And that's the consequence of the fall and all these agendas. It makes us less humans. But then there is redemption. God comes in Jesus, and there is the cross. There is the good news. There's change. And I'm so glad in so many situations that I meet in Brazil, in my own life, and my family, and so many situations, I'm so glad that Jesus is still a redeemer. Isn't that great, that Jesus is a redeemer? And for him to be a redeemer means that whatever the fall did to what God did in creation, redemption reverses. The power that comes from the cross is able to redeem every situation, every circumstance. So if whatever circumstance you face this morning, I want you to find comfort and faith and hope in the fact that Jesus is still a redeemer. Nothing has changed. He's still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's still sitting on the throne as Isaiah saw him that day. He has not come from the throne, and there is nothing in history that will change that picture. Jesus will forever be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He will be the Redeemer, and nothing can change that. So, yes. So, praise the Lord and praise our King for that. So there is redemption, and in redemption, God comes and he reverses what the fall did. So Actually, if you go back to that slide before, maybe I should show that. Because in Brazil, what you're telling these, especially the millennials, the new generation, the next generation, these young people that we have been equipping, that God has bringing to us, we tell them that on the soil of the lives of individuals and in the soil of cultures, the enemy has planted lies. And the lies generate death and, like I said, enslavement. But as we become agents with God, with the King, as we fulfill our destiny to be agents of transformation under God, He's the main agent. We're not the main agent. He's the main agent. And as we work with Him to bring His truth to the soil of the lives of individuals and of cultures and nations, then life flourishes. And the next slide shows that biblical worldview is key to bring that transformation. And the redemption is the door. Because one of the things we do in the poor communities, of course, we believe that as we bring God's truth, there is transformation. But if we believe that only by bringing principles that will change the fabrics of a community, of a society, we become social activists. And we don't want to be that. It's not sustainable. Transformation is not sustainable unless it goes through the door of redemption. Unless Jesus is involved, then transformation is sustainable. And that's what we teach in these people. Yes, the redemption reversed what the fall did, but transformation is only sustainable if it starts on the cross. If it starts on what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us when He dealt with sin once and for all, then we talk about transformation of individuals, of their communities, of society, because we believe that the power of the gospel is so powerful that it not only changes the lives of individuals, it actually changes a society. And that's what, actually, by the way, that's what God did to Israel. Look at the book of Deuteronomy. God is taking this nation of people out of Egypt. They spent 400 years in Egypt. Out of those 400 years, 300 years they spent as slaves. So we have 300 years of a mentality of slavery coming out of Egypt. And now God is going to turn them into a nation as He promised to Abraham. Think about the challenge. So what does God do? He gives him these laws. He trains them as a nation. He gives them these principles that will make them a nation. They become the great nation that God told Abraham that he would do. But he does that. He brings these people, and transformation comes because of God's truth and God's principles and God Himself at the center of the adoration of these people. Even the tabernacle and the whole tribes, all the tribes around. So God makes these people a great nation, and we believe that redemption, Jesus, and the principles that God established in creation. So He called us to be agents with Him of restoration, of consummation. We are working right now. And back to the verse, Isaiah says, He will extend His dominion. God is extending His dominion. We had just the privilege to join Him in His work. It's His mission, and He calls us to be part of His mission. He calls churches and individuals and missionaries and global workers and a great force that God has raised to be part of His mission. But He will extend His dominion. I'm so glad that I don't do that. It's God who does it. I just make myself available, right, to join Him in His work. Because He works, I work. It's not the opposite. Because if He was, then I would be here stressed, and maybe I would even be here not right now. But how does God the King extend His dominion? Philippians, Paul, when he wrote to the Philippians, he talks about Him becoming a servant. He becomes a servant king. He comes not to be served, but Jesus Himself says that He came to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. He becomes a servant. So the church is now called to be God's agent, to serve, to be a servant like Him. And that's what we are. We are servants of this God, this King, who became a servant. And this is the only way. By the way, serving is the only way to live freely within the reality of the kingdom. We become servants. And we, as we pass through this life and as we fulfill our destiny under God, we become servants. So there's a graphic that I like to show at the end here. This is a picture of the church. And we use that picture in Brazil, and we ask the millennials and the young next generation that we train, how many arrows do you see there? And they usually see, they say four, which is right? Yes and no, because there's four white arrows pointing inside, but there's four bigger arrows, black arrows pointing outside. So we make them understand through that picture that the church gathers for worship and for equipping, and that's part of what being the church is about, and that's what pastors do and leaders, and they equip the saints according to Ephesians 4. But the church is scattered for service and for discipling a nation. So we disciple not only individuals, but the principles that God gave us in His Word, they are powerful to disciple societies. And societies, and this, because there is sin in the lives of individuals, but there is also sin in the structures. There is systems of iniquities that the enemy has built that need to be discipled. That the truth of God needs to change as it needs to change people inside and deal with sin in the lives of individuals. It needs to deal with the sin, the structures in society. And then we're telling these millennials that through their vocation, as they work in the area of law and the government and the arts and the media, they become instruments of God to bring God's truth to the soil, like I said before. And then there is transformation and discipling. So to conclude this word today, and my time is coming to the end, that verse in the beginning that we had said, there will be no end to peace. There will be peace without end because of the Prince of Peace, right? He is the Prince of Peace. Because of that, there will be peace without end. The word peace, you theologians and who like to study your Bible know that the Hebrew coming from the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for peace that he's using here in our English is shalom. Shalom. And shalom is a word that we translate as peace, but it's more than that. Shalom is that when all things are as they were intended by God to be, when all things are in place and ordered and functioning as God intended them to function, then there is shalom. Everything is in place. So there's going to be this shalom without end. We only see this by faith today because things are still broken around us. In my life, in my family, I still see things need to be as they should be in my society, in my community, in Brazil, in Canada. I see shalom by faith, but we know that things are still broken and shalom is coming. And we Christians have a dream. We look forward. It is coming. The kingdom of God is advancing in history. And one day the king himself will come and there will be shalom, peace without end that day. That day is coming. And that day is close. And in the present, it is our mission to extend his kingdom and to bring shalom. Plus, shalom is already ours to experience. So whatever you need shalom today, I want to tell you that shalom is already here for you to experience. And at the same time, I want to challenge you that we are agents of this shalom. Wherever you are, not only on Sunday in the church, but as you go to your work tomorrow, as you go to your school tomorrow, as you go back to your family today, as you go to your neighborhood, to your community, to this nation, we become agents with God to bring this shalom. Evil is not in control. Sometimes we think that it is, but shalom is advancing. The kingdom of God is advancing. The kingdom of God is advancing in Brazil. Today in Canada, there is about 309 missionaries preaching in different churches in Canada because they come into the global retreat that's going to happen in a week from now. And they strategically, POC brought these missionaries to preach. I'm preaching here this morning at Richmond Pentecostal. There's 309 missionaries preaching different churches in Canada. And they all tell you the same story. The kingdom of God is advancing. I'm in Brazil. They are in different parts of the world. And the kingdom of God is advancing because Jesus continues to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So I want to challenge you this morning with this. I want to challenge you that Shalom is yours to experience already. And I don't know where you need Shalom today. If it is in your health, if it is in your family, if it is in your finances, whatever the circumstances, Jesus is a redeemer. Shalom is yours to experience today. And I want to challenge you not only to receive that, but to become an agent of that Shalom. So I would like to pray this morning, Pastor Jim. And I don't know your situation. I don't know you. And I would like you to invite you to stand this morning. And as I said, I don't know. But there is one prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. And when Jesus taught that prayer to his disciples, he taught them to pray, "Your kingdom come." And when the kingdom comes, in the kingdom there is health, there is healing, in the kingdom there is provision, in the kingdom there is healing for relationships. That's what happened when the kingdom comes. So we pray, may your kingdom come this morning. And if you're here this morning, and there is God is speaking to you, and there is a circumstance or a situation that you're facing that you need that the kingdom come this morning, that the Shalom will come to you, I invite you to leave your place and come to this, to the front, to the platform. And I want to pray together with you. I want to pray, may God's kingdom come upon you this morning. May God's kingdom bring whatever you need this morning. May Shalom fall upon you, and we'll pray. So we'll sing a song, and as we sing, I invite you to come. I invite you to hear what God is saying, respond to what he's saying, and find out that there is Shalom for you this morning. So let's do that.